afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. We are live here in the Northgate Sanctuary. It is 12 o'clock on Thursday, and so every other week, that means we do In Addition, where we just have some time to unpack messages a little bit more, maybe answer some questions, maybe expand on things we're thinking, what's been going on. And so, Pastor Marcia, I am here with you today. Thanks
you
for
are.
Joining me.
You are here with me.
I'm here with you.
We are live. When you looked at me, it almost seemed like you were asking if I was alive. Are you ready to go?
You are.
I am.
Okay, good. That would be a really, that's a shocking episode of In Addition if we don't all make it through the 20 minutes together. So last couple weeks, mm-hmm. you've been talking about Pergamum and Thyatira.
Yes.
Which are not diseases or medicines or anything like that.
No, they're not easy to pronounce. I had to practice.
I had to look before I said it.
Thyatira.
Yeah.
It reminded me of my dad. He used to work at Wegmans, and people would ask him as he was stocking the shelves, you know, for different spices or unusual ingredients, and he would refer them to the pharmacy. Pergamum and Thyatira are not medicines.
They're, or breads.
No, cities in ancient Asia Minor.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been unpacking those. Let's see, we have three cities left.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is the third and fourth city of the seven.
Yes.
And there's been some good takeaways in there, some good things. I thought, and this was on our social media yesterday, but the idea of God being both mighty and gentle.
Yes.
It's an interesting dichotomy. It's an interesting balance. So how can he be both, and how have you seen God as both?
Well, God is God, so God can be all things. Mm-hmm. And I think of God as, in terms of being our Heavenly Father and being both mighty and both gentle, just like I believe good earthly parents, mm-hmm. good earthly fathers are, all parents. We want our parents, and we certainly want our God, to be completely strong and capable of handling all kinds of problems and situations. Mm-hmm. And yet we also want and need that gentleness, that tenderness. And I think that comes from God's wisdom, that God knows when God needs to exert or impose his might in a situation, and when, you know, it calls for a gentle touch, mm-hmm. A comforting word or a sense of his presence in our lives and in our situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an interesting mm-hmm. balance, right, between the two. I've always, when I was a kid, I remember like waiting at the door for my dad to get home from work. You know, I'd be like excited. He's coming home. You know, I'd get home around the same time. And I remember doing that. I also remember hiding in my room
mm-hmm.
if I was in trouble,
mm-hmm.
right? If
mm-hmm.
I had gotten the wait till your dad gets home
right.
line that every kid dreads, or at least growing up,
right.
I did.
It reminds me of what we've been talking about at base camp this week
mm-hmm.
with the concept of fear and trembling, that we work out our salvation. And really, in that context, I think the word fear means reverence
right.
and respect and awe for God. But there's a little bit of fear, too, if we're
yeah.
doing what we shouldn't be doing and behaving in ways that go against God's will, there are consequences and there's punishment, and we should be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes when you read the Old Testament in particular
mm-hmm.
and you see, you know, angry Old Testament God pop up in some places. And because
mm-hmm.
we can be, and I think there's some good to this, but we can become comfortable to the point of familiar, or maybe familiar to the point of comfort with God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's good. I love that balance, that, you know, this great, powerful God is personal enough that he wants a relationship with me.
Right.
But I don't want to be so comfortable that I forget how powerful he
yes.
is.
Yes. And I think there's a danger in coming to think of God in terms of our, as our buddy or something,
mm-hmm.
as a colleague, as somebody on par with us, just like a parent and a child should have that separation of authority and the understanding
yeah.
that one is in charge and one is not.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I'm working
yeah.
on that.
I remember hearing that a lot as a kid, like, I'm the parent and
mm-hmm.
and you're the child, and that authority was established. And, you know, we don't want our kids to be afraid of us. We want them to know that we love them so much that they can come to us with any problem. They can come to us when they've messed up
mm-hmm.
and they've done something that they know is wrong and we know is wrong, but we still want them to understand that we are on their side, mm-hmm. that ultimately, I think that's what I was getting at with the main point of the message about the church at Thyatira. I have putting my practice into to work there.
That's good.
But that God's love is powerful and protective, and it's that protectiveness that I think is also analogous to our parenthood, that we ultimately are on our kids' side, just as God is on our side. Ultimately, He is interested in bringing us to salvation and bringing us to heaven and bringing us through all of the difficulties of this life unscathed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, that would for me tie into the idea of the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom, right? Mm. That fear that you're talking about, mm-hmm. it's not like I'm terrified of God and wisdom comes out of that, but it's that understanding and having that reverence for God and for what God wants for us and God's desires for our lives, that then begins that road to wisdom.
Right. And we're all on that road. You know, we don't arrive, you know, as soon as we hit adulthood or as soon as we become parents ourselves, although there's a lot of wisdom gleaned from parenthood. But not everybody becomes a parent. And those folks are learning and growing and gaining wisdom as they go, as they are in their relationship with God and God teaches them and guides them through their various situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting how our earthly relationships kind of shape our relationship with God. Or, you know, for me, so much of my understanding, I think, of kind of what you were saying, of how God views me, I've learned through how I view my children, you know, like the things that you want from them or the ways that you correct them. And like you said, not coming from a position of anger, but coming from a position of, I want what's best for you. And I have a little bit of wisdom that you don't have yet on some things. And that's been really formative for me.
Well, I would say, too, there are times when I've been so angry with my children and upset about something they've done that I've had an attitude toward them that, not instinctively, but based on my knowledge of God and my relationship with Him, I've known that that isn't a godly attitude. Mm-hmm. And that anger or that sense of injustice or whatever is based in my ego and not in a godly attitude of unconditional love and wisdom. So that's helped me to grow too. And I've recognized that, and I've just had to turn to God and to ask for His help to improve that attitude, adjust that attitude, and to love my children well. And that helps me to understand how well God loves me.
How tolerant He is of us.
He certainly is.
Do you want to name any specific children or situations?
No, definitely not. Okay. Even just as it was coming out of my mouth that I've been sometimes very angry with my children, I think they might be surprised at that. Probably not the oldest. She would know that I've been very angry with her at times. And she's, you know, an adult herself now. So it's okay for me to say that. But
that's the statute of limitations? That's when you can admit that?
Well, I don't know. I just think the other kids might be the ones who would be surprised, and maybe that's a good reflection on my ability, God given and grace imbued. I used the word imbued.
Imbued. Whenever I'm on here with Dan, and he always throws
I was channeling
in,
Dan on the imbued comment.
That's good. So let's another kind of balance you talked about is how we as the church we can do good, but also we have to tolerate evil in some ways, right? Which sounds interesting to say tolerate evil. Is it possible for those two realities to coexist? How do we manage that?
Well, I think I don't know if I would say we have to tolerate evil. I think, well, maybe we do. I mean, we live in a fallen world. There's going to be sin in and among us and all around us. And some churches may choose to try to create a bubble where it's all good all the time, and we, I will say, pretend that everybody in the church is completely holy and clean and pure. I just don't think that can possibly be the case this side of heaven. And so if we're going to throw wide open the doors of the church and our hearts to everyone, which I think God calls us to do, then we will have to accept that in and among us and within ourselves, there are going to be sin tendencies and evil that threatens to crop in. But also those coming in are going to be, you know, imperfect people. Mm-hmm. I've often heard, there's a professor from Roberts, actually, Paul Stewart, who has said, if you find the perfect church, don't join, because you'll ruin it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And of course, there is no such thing as a perfect church. And yet, we believe as Christians that God is in the process of perfecting each of us and perfecting his church, and he cherishes the church and he cherishes each of us. And so he is patient and tolerant of us. So
absolutely. When we have, we have a Sid Bolton shout out. We have a Paul Stewart shout out.
Okay.
We're really, this is good. yeah, I think, you know, for as a church, as like capital C church, the big church, not Northgate itself, Christians, we have some tendencies with evil. You know, I would say that we have a tendency to withdraw, like you said. We're going to pull back. We're going to be safe in our own bubble. This tendency to confront it, right? We're going to fight the evil. We got to stand up and we got to protest and we have to, you know, really do that. Or this third tendency to conform, you know, where we start to look more and more like what we're trying to, you know, what we should be separated from.
Right. Slippery slopes all around us.
Right, and all of those are really, all of those are dangerous. Like, I think they all begin in a good place. Mm-hmm. All three of them, I think they come from a good place. I mean, you know, as parents, we want to protect our kids. You want to take them and keep them from all those things. So I get the withdrawing. I get the confronting. And, you know, I think the conforming, maybe that doesn't begin in a good place. Maybe it does because you want to connect with people, right?
Sure.
You want to be similar to people. You know, you want to be able to meet them on their level.
Paul said he was all things to all people. So by all possible means, he might save some.
That's good. That's a quizzing verse for you. Mm-hmm. Paul Stewart or the Apostle Paul?
The Apostle Paul.
Good.
In that instance.
Okay.
Although Paul Stewart might say that too, just quoting the Apostle Paul.
He might.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true, that all three of those approaches ostensibly start from a good place. I think the difference is, and the key is for our success is the word that comes to mind, but I shy away from that because I don't want to put it in terms of worldly success, but if we want to reach people for Christ, if we want to grow ourselves in our relationship with Christ, the key is to be in step with the Spirit, to be in constant communication and communion with God and allowing the Spirit to direct our words, our steps, our actions, because he's not going to let us pull away too much and be in that bubble without convicting us of the sin within ourselves. And he's not going to let us, you know, conform. And remind me of the third one.
Withdraw, confront, and conform.
Confront. Yeah. If we're in touch with God and we're in step with the Holy Spirit, any confrontation that God leads us to do will be done in love and will be done in a spirit of wisdom.
Yeah, not anger and self-righteousness.
Yes.
And those things can tend to go that way sometimes.
Yes.
So you asked this question, and we came out of the series in Job where we really wrestled with this, but how do we respond in faith when we don't like some of the things that God says or does, when God doesn't behave the way that we feel like he should?
Well, there were some very specific parts of the rebuke and the repercussions that Jesus describes in his letter to the church at Thyatira that initiated that question. And I didn't like what Jesus said, and I thought it was horrible. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, why would he say such a thing to that church in such harsh terms? I knew what he meant. I knew it was, he was speaking in hyperbole, if you will, but even so, it was hard to take. And I think the key there is, again, to recognize God as God, and that we are not, and that whatever God says and does, we have to live in reverence and deference to that, if we're going to truly acknowledge our place in the relationship and in his authority as the God of the universe.
Right. It goes back to that fear and respect,
right?
That idea that everything isn't going to make sense to me on my level. And then God is under no obligation to make it make sense to me.
And this is a place where the human parent and child relationship differs very much from our relationship with God, because as human parents, we are flawed. And sometimes our kids question what we say, what we do, and they're right. Sometimes my kids will say, that was mean. And I'll have to acknowledge, yes, it was unkind of me to say that. And I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And then I try not to repeat that kind of behavior or tone of voice or whatever it is. Yeah. But God is not imperfect. God is holy. God is perfect. And God's not going to make a wrong move or say the wrong thing. And it's just part of our faith in him.
Yeah, that's an interesting separation there, right? Between us as parents and God as a heavenly father. I screw up more than he has.
Yeah, so do I.
It's a bold take there, but I'm going to just put that out on the record. So one last thing. You talked about one of the problems that they were having with Thyatira was false prophets, false teachings. Mm-hmm. So how do we as the church, like how can we encourage people to be aware of that, like to be on the lookout for what responsibilities do the listeners have, whether they're listening here on a weekend or they're listening to a podcast or, you know, something they hear on the radio?
Yeah, well, I think a huge part of that is learning to recognize God's voice. You know, Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd of our souls and makes this analogy, this beautiful analogy about how the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. And, part of recognizing God's voice is knowing God's word. You know, we've got our Bible here, and lots of people have a Bible that sits on a coffee table or sits on a shelf. I think we need to open it, to read it, to be in the word on a regular basis, and not just in the word, but also in prayer and asking God to reveal what he's saying, to help us understand, to help us recognize his voice so that when somebody comes along who says things that maybe it sound a little bit right at first, we'll recognize the phony aspects of what they're saying or the character or the fruit of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll trigger something in us, right? Of like, wait a minute.
Something's not right.
I've read that. Mm-hmm. And I put this out there all the time, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I know that Pastor Vern does. When people have a question, I love when they email me or come to me and say, you know, hey, you said this, and I wondered. And like that one, I know you're listening, which is great. I like that. Mm-hmm. But two, I'm always happy to have that dialogue. And, you know, there have been times where, you know, I've said things and I've been able to explain it. And there have been times where I said something and then we had a conversation. I realized, yeah, I could have said that better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, one, it helps people grow if they're going to do that. But two, it does help us as speakers, too, when somebody in a nice way, not like yelling in the lobby or anything, not that has ever happened here. But they come to you and they're saying, hey, you said this, and I wanted to understand that a little more. Mm-hmm. I love that because, like I said, it helps both of us grow, and it helps, it makes me know, okay, people here are paying attention. You know, they are listening, you know, they're learning to discern and approve what they're hearing and not just saying like, okay, well, my pastor said it. That's it. Like we do our very best to be true to the scripture and, you know, truthful in everything we say. And, you know, we have a lot of checks and balances for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also good when people clarify and want to understand on their own.
Yep. And when they dig in further, you know, if they hear something that they don't quite understand, they can come to us, but they can go right to the scripture and, and dig into that and ask God to guide them and to help them to understand that better. There are so many resources, good resources that are available, but first and foremost is the Bible itself.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good place to wrap it up. So that's it for episode 6 of In Addition. Thank you to Pastor Marcia for being here with us. Next one is August 29th, being here live, still live. You good?
Still here.
Good? All right.
Still going.
August 29th at noon on Facebook Live. You can catch it on the podcast and some other places afterwards, but we look forward to seeing you. We're going to Sardis this week.
Yes. Much easier to say.
I just picked the easy ones to pronounce. So,
figures.
We will continue the final countdown as we look at Sardis this weekend. We hope that we will see you here, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on Facebook Live. Thanks for checking it out.